Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. It's Teresa.
And America. And we have a special guest with us. Say hi.
Hi, guys. My name's Catherine.
But Kat's been with us. So she was with us in Am I Bipolar? And today she's going to share with us about what it feels like or what it's like to go to the hospital. You know, how she came to make a decision about why she should go to the hospital, what it was like in her different experiences to go to a hospital, and maybe tips for somebody who is wondering whether they should go to the hospital.
I think one of the things that we want to make sure, like off the bat, is to let people know that it's a scary situation to be in to make a decision like that. But it's important that you think through your options so that you figure out what would work best for you. And in your case, Kat, you kind of talked about the decisions that you've made and what kind of pushed you to make the decision to seek out help through the hospital. But for people that may not have heard the previous podcast, a little bit about yourself so that nobody's kind of surprised by your experience.
I work here at MHA, and I have been receiving mental health treatment and been a consumer of mental health services for about 10 years. I started seeing a therapist when I was 14 and was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 17, and now I'm 24 and am really focusing on managing my life with bipolar disorder. It has not always been very easy, but it has definitely brought me to where I am here to be speaking with you guys today.
Can you talk a little bit about how you ended up making the decision to be hospitalized?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, so when I was in high school, I went to the ER, and it was like, I would say it was because of a medication that I was taking, which was a whole new world to me, the trial and error process of medication. And I definitely had experiences where medications that I took made everything way worse. And I was taking a medication and it took me to a point, and I went to the ER with my mom, and they recommended that I go to an inpatient facility. Mm-hmm. And it was right before AP exams. And we ultimately decided that that wasn't the best thing for me to do, which I agree with, especially because I took those APs, I passed those classes. And then when I went to college and I had to take a semester off, I still had, you know, I had those hours from those classes. Yeah. So when I was in college, something happened and I had scissors and I was just going away at my arm. And I had this moment where, in the same way where sometimes when you're drinking and you're like, if I have another drink, I know it's going to be too much. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I continue to sit here, I don't know what's going to happen. And I remember for some reason I had this clear moment and I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? And I called one of my best friends and I literally like gripped my bed. I had to physically restrain myself from getting up because I knew if I got up, I was going to hurt myself. And so I went to the ER. And I wanted to go. I wanted to go to inpatient. I was like, okay, this is it. Like, I think I didn't do this last time. Let's see what happens. So I went there. It was terrifying. And I did not know what to expect. You know, they take everything from you. They take away your shoelaces. They take all those things. And I was in a very small psychiatric hospital.
Well, this is while you were at college,
this was in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Alabama.
Yeah. And I was the youngest person there. And there was a person in the group with me who was a psychologist, and, you know, they're asking like what I'm doing. I'm like, I want to be a therapist and all these things. And I had this moment and I only stayed there for a day. My mom came down and cause I didn't need to be there in that thing. Like, but I walked out of the doors and I was like, I never want to come back here again. But I realized, you know, I was thinking about the guy next to me and I was like, he's a psychologist and he's here. And nothing against him, but I'm like, I know about these things. Like, I owe it to myself. Like, it's kind of that cognitive dissonance thing, right? Like, I know better. I know what to do. I've gotten better. And for me personally, I was like, I should constantly be trying to better that because I have the resources to do so. But coming out of that hospital, I thought it was going to be more like outpatient therapy. Mm-hmm. Like, outpatient therapy was probably the most helpful thing that I've ever done in my entire life. I spent 30 days in an outpatient therapy program.
What does that look like?
It's an intensive outpatient program. So, I thought I was going to come out of inpatient thinking something differently. But I think what I really was seeking was the outpatient environment. So an intensive outpatient program, the one that I went to, was 7 hours a day. And it was kind of hard because I had to drive an hour there from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham right after this car accident. And so that's a place where I started learning like these really good grounding exercises, which I still do now, which my therapist has helped reintroduce now into my life with this whole idea of being present, being like, you know what, I'm driving in the car, I'm turning left kind of thing, because now I have to deal with racing thoughts a lot. But, you know, you get there and you have some kind of like mindfulness thing and you get into a group and then you do like education and then you have a fun thing. But I mean, it really is a really intense thing. But I think that's what I was really seeking because I got to meet so many people. And that was another thing. I was one of the youngest people at this outpatient program. And I talked to people. I realized I was like, wow, it's such a privilege to be here right now because I'm 21 years old. And I have the whole rest of my life ahead of me. And so many people go through their entire lives not knowing that there was another way, that they were okay, that there was help available. Mm-hmm. But it was at the same time, though, it made me realize that we should never stop trying to better ourselves and that it can always be better. And that's something that was also really important to me, especially with medication and stuff, is that I kind of trained myself to never be too comfortable. I mean, shouldn't we strive for more than just the bar to be like, well, I don't want to kill myself, you know? It was scary, though, because you're like, well, everything's fine right now. I don't want to do anything to mess this up or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But is that, you're kind of talking about setting up these kind of mini goals, right? Because it's about functioning. And what you're talking about is really your functioning day-to-day stuff, right? So if your bar is down here, and it's not a low bar to not contemplate suicide. You know, it's about you, okay, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to take a shower, mm-hmm. you know? And I think for many people, just in general, because our mind impacts our functioning so much, we have to create those small, and it may look small to the outside world, right? But for us, it's like huge. It's like, I cooked a meal, mm-hmm. you know? I made toast, you know, and those types of things. From what you're saying, it sounds like you had to create those little mini goals to be able to function. Yeah.
To get by, and which is something, and kind of, you know, transitioning this. And I will also say, like, yeah, I understand this is a privilege right now. And it's totally, which is why I love working for this organization, because I very much am like, oh my gosh, early intervention saves lives. Like, I thank God every day that I was in the family that I was in. Because if I had to go through everything else in my life and I didn't know of these things, I think about going to the University of Alabama, going to a huge party school like that, getting these car accidents without those things. Like, I had all these really formative experiences at such a young age that it definitely, I think, trained my brain to think like that. And so now when I have actual stresses and pressures and, like, you know, like as an adult doing all these things, it's like I had all those experiences, but I was in such a safe environment, but I was like getting to test all those skills and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I remember Kanye West recently came out on one of his albums with bipolar disorder, right? And he's like, I hate being bipolar. It's my superpower. Having people like Catherine Zeta-Jones is great, but like, I need to know that there's a girl with great like style, who's yeah. cool, who lives with bipolar disorder, who can do it, you know? But I've come to a place where, like, I do think it's my superpower. Like, it has given me something to be, like, and all these things that I've navigated for me. And for someone like me who thrives off of relationships, it's like, I might not have been able to have the same experience as someone, but pain is pain is pain. And that's what's something that bipolar disorder has taught me. Like, because they're just emotions that are such highs and lows, like, those emotions are still valid. And the circumstances about what brought them to be don't really matter. Like, your pain is equally as valid as my pain. And I think that's the biggest thing that I learned in outpatient therapy. It was like, because I was there with all these people and they were like all in these circumstances that I probably might not ever have to deal with. But I was like, we're all here now because we have similar feelings and it doesn't matter where those came from. And so I found that having bipolar disorder, I'm able to connect with people really well because of that. I might not know I don't know what it's like to lose a child, but I know what it's like to want to die, you know, and those parents might feel the same way. But I'm thankful for the idea of early intervention because it was at such a formative time in my life that those things happened, that I'm now 24 and I feel so prepared for most things that will come to me.
You talk about being hospitalized. Did you take yourself to the hospital? Like, what was that process of realizing, like, oh, I need to go to a hospital? Because you shared a little about what it's like in the hospital, but what happens for people when they're in that space when they're not sure, like, am I supposed to go to the hospital or not? Did you take yourself? Did you call 911? Because I know we tell people, and I know what we do when somebody's connected to somebody who can help them get to hospital. What do you do when you're by yourself? Like, or what did you do?
So the first time I was at home with my mom, and I know a little bit about this because of what she had said, but she made the decision to drive me to the hospital. But I remember her being like, I was scared you were going to jump out of the car. Like, I had no idea what was going on. But of course, at the time I was like 17. So I went to a children's ER.
So did you like willingly go though? That like, she, what did she say to you? Like, I think we need to go to the hospital. You were like, okay, let's go.
So very specifically how this happened, I was at a softball practice.
Okay.
And that's the whole thing. And that's something that I didn't know at the time, is that I need something to get me out of that headspace. But it just went from one point and then just kept escalating. Okay. And then driving home, and I was wanting to like turn my car off the road. And then I'm sitting there watching a movie and I start like hyperventilating. And I wrote this note, and I'm like, it felt like my soul was being sucked from my body. Like, I wasn't speaking in tongues, but like, I was not making any sense. I was hitting myself. I was like grabbing objects around. And I remember I wrote this down on my phone, and I was like, if I'd been in the kitchen, I would have grabbed a knife. There was not a struggle. Like, I wanted to go to the ER. Mm-hmm. But that was the other really weird part, is that by the time I got to the hospital, I was fine.
Like, you were calm.
I was calm. You know, like, mm-hmm. I was not in that headspace anymore. And I was like, I don't even need to be here. Like, mm-hmm. it's all good, which was clearly not true. But the experience of going to the ER, I'm not going to lie, to me, was traumatic in itself. Because
the first time?
The second time. Of the lack of training, which I think is something that people need to be aware of. There was not any communication between the nurses. I had to keep explaining what had happened. Like, so I had taken a pair of scissors and like carved up my wrist. Mm-hmm. And I had to like relive that like 3 or 4 times, because no one was saying that, and like accused my friend of videotaping it. And it was very odd. But my friend at the time, she just acted like nothing was wrong. We were just hanging out. You know, like, she was making me laugh. It was the most normal thing in the world. She brought it down. I was just like, it was just me and Dana hanging out. It was like, there was an elephant in the room. Like, oh, I'm in the ER. I don't really necessarily know if I was trying to kill myself. And that's the thing that I don't think that the general public or people who don't understand mental health conditions, or specifically bipolar disorder, is like, your mind is taken from you. You know, like, you are not consciously doing anything. Like, that was not premeditated at all. Mm-hmm. So they took me from the ER. They put me in an ambulance and took me to the inpatient facility. Mm-hmm. They let me write down phone numbers to put on a sheet of paper before they took my phone. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they were going to take my shoelaces, but, you know, that's a risk. They let me stay in my own room.
You get into this ambulance. They take you to the hospital. Were you able to call your mom beforehand and tell her, Mom, this is happening?
My mom knew, and I don't know if one of my friends had told her, mm-hmm. but she flew down like within the next like 24 hours.
Okay.
At that time, I was seeking the things that I was getting from outpatient. I wanted to meet people who were like me. I wanted to know what they were doing that helped them. I wanted to get education. I wanted to get practical tools, you know, like, I wanted all that stuff.
So let me ask you, you wanted all those things, but did you not have the words to know how to ask for those things?
I don't think so.
But you knew something was missing.
Yeah, yeah. But they connected me with the psychiatrist that I saw for the rest of my time at the school and put me on a medication that really dramatically changed my well-being.
Looking back now, what was the benefit that a person does get if they do go to a hospital? Like, and or also even just like thinking about, because you've had a couple of hospitalizations, you know? What was a good part of the experience, if you could even identify one?
Well, I think it was kind of like twofold. It was like, the one, I never want to come back here again. And initially it was the scare, like being scared to have to go back.
Okay.
I was like, I don't ever want to be here. I don't want my mom to ever have to come get me from here again. So like the pot, like the things that I drew out of that, I had the resources, I had the support to get help. It was like an encouraging thing to me. I was like, man, like there's people in and out of here. I don't want that to be me. I realize that I've been given gifts. I want to do something.
It sounds like the tips are like, if you're thinking that you have to go to the hospital, know that you have options out there. You know, if you're in a crisis situation and you think that you can go from hot to cool, but it doesn't require hospitalization, that might be a good option. I mean, I know we talk about like peer run respite models or calling a warm line, calling the crisis text line or calling the suicide prevention lifeline, because that might be the kind of conversation that can help you go from hot to cool. And it might prevent you from actually having to go to a hospital. What's a situation where, because of your experience or what you see in people, like when do you feel like a hospital visit or a stay, whether it's a day or two, is actually useful?
I would say when I'm scared to leave the other to person alone, it's like an entryway. Like that entryway to go see that, which unfortunately it doesn't have to be that way. Like you shouldn't have to go to the ER to end up getting connected with a psychiatrist, right? But I ended up getting connected with a psychiatrist who changed my life for me. Mm-hmm. But I would say that, like, if you can't leave someone alone.
So that's interesting, because then it sounds like it wasn't a really recovery oriented space. Like it wasn't warm and it was poorly staffed, but maybe even just for that day, it's what you needed. And you ended up getting connected to a lot of services that really did change your life. So in some way it was good.
Oh, I definitely think that. And that gets back to the idea of like, that's something that I realized and that I would really encourage other people to understand, is that every single time something happens, do not think of it as a misstep.
Yeah.
Like, do not be discouraged that if you go to the hospital and then you're doing well and you have to go back, or you weren't self-harming and then you start doing it again, that it's a misstep.
Yeah.
It's a step.
It's just another part of it.
It's just another part of it.
It's just a step. Yeah.
Something that I really realized like in the past couple of months that I've been thankful for, and that I've been telling people around me when they're not really sure what's going on, is like, so if you're in a space and you don't really know what to do, think about other times in your life when you felt like that, and then look at where you are. Are you still on that same path? You know, it's like when I keep looking back after every one of these hiccups, am I better now than I was? Mm-hmm. Am I still headed in a direction? You know?
No, I find it super helpful to just kind of go through the things that have happened, because I feel in the experiences that I've had and what I have heard from other folks is that, you know, you talked about being scared, and it's this moment where you're like, damn, I know I have to do something. Like something's definitely not right. And that feeling is very different for everybody, but it's a feeling that you can, it's so visceral, right? And then you get into this place and through all of your experiences where you are definitely looking back and saying, you know, there were steps for me to get to where I am today. But for some people, it may not feel that way, right? Because it is super scary. And when you start thinking about how others may misinterpret these symptoms that they have, and they don't have a freaking clue, like, that it's not me going crazy, I think maybe accessing services like the ER, even if it's a crappy ER, hopefully it can get them into a path of saying, okay, mm-hmm, something could be helpful here.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you sharing your experiences. And we just end by telling people to keep fighting and fighting in the open.
Thanks for fighting in the open with us.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having me. I'll keep on fighting.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.